We read in the Word of God, verse 1 of Judges 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come, and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us, and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy word. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Amen. Well, friends, we have been studying portions of the book which chronicles the years in Israel between the death of Joshua and the appointment of Saul as their first king. And what we see in this book is a scene of lawlessness, but also we see scenes of short-term works of God in revival of a nation, using different people, all sorts of people, to bring them back to God, to restore some level of spiritual health, to protect them. These judges that were raised are little pictures of the coming Savior who would come, the perfect judge, the perfect lawgiver and protector of God's people. Israel would abandon the Lord for false gods and idols. And so God then would punish them for their sins by allowing their enemies to defeat them and enslave them. After a time of enemy oppression, Israel is brought to the point of repentance. And God would then raise up a judge to deliver them. They would be set free from their enemies, and then the cycle would be repeated all over again. But a sad state. The spiritual climate in Israel during those days is summed up by the last verse in the book. In verse 25 of Judges 21, it says, In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And what is so discouraging about parts of this book is that there is ample evidence that we humans do not learn the lessons of history. That's one thing that we know. History doesn't teach people much, even though we are to learn from history. It seems that nobody learns it. Nobody learns the lessons. Why? Those people who we see them at different stages in this book of Judges, why could they not think about their past? Just 10 years before, 20 years before, 50 years before, what had happened and how God had rescued them. And they must have heard about the history of their fall in the past. Why no one would listen? You see the depravity of man's heart. Left to ourselves, we can do little but get ourselves in trouble time and time again. Of course, there is this positive side of this book. And very encouraging and very hopeful part of this book as well, which sometimes is neglected, sometimes it's not seen. And this book is oftentimes referred to as a very dark book, very discouraging book. But we see here time and time again God reviving, God restoring, God saving. Yes, He chastens His people. He must do. But He always takes them back when they return to Him with genuine repentance. And so that lets us know that God will never forsake His people. He is covenanted to be our God and our covenant-keeping God. So He will never forsake you. If you are a child of God, He will never forsake you. You see, the people of Israel had been purchased as well, in an outward sense, by the blood of the Lamb. That's what we read in Exodus. They had been bought by the blood of the Lamb. The church is purchased by the blood of the Lamb of God, the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Revelation 1 and verse 5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And so there ever Christ stands for us. Even in our worst times, He will not forsake us. He will not forget us. But He will bring us back to Himself. Well, while the times of the judges were dark and dismal days for Israel, mostly, there are, as we see, in the lives of the judges themselves, there are lives that stand out as bright lights against the darkness. One of those lights is the man before us in this passage this evening. In this passage, we are introduced to this man, Jephthah, a very interesting man. Again, as the other judges, quite a complicated character. All sorts of things could be said of him. What the Word of God teaches us about this man should serve as an encouragement to every person in this room. Jephthah walked through some hard places in his life, yet he overcame all of these obstacles in his life and he accomplished great things. For who? For God. We see that the words that he spoke of, they were said before the Lord, even in verse 11 of that chapter that we read together. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. He was a man of God. Not a perfect man, but he was a man of God. God had worked in his heart. God had His hand upon him. He had walked through hard times. He was a man who had been rejected by his family. He was a man who was an outcast by society. He was written off by everyone who should have cared about him. Yet in the end, Jephthah became the leader of his people. Now, he is not altogether a good example. He does certain things. He says certain things that were not the best of examples. Yet God uses him. Uses this imperfect man. We've seen that in the lives of others too. So here we are, looking at this life of this man. And I trust the Lord will teach us some lessons too. Here is the life of a man who was rejected, yet he became a ruler of the Lord's people. Let us think this evening of this rejection of Jephthah. That's all we want to think about. The way he was rejected. We read that Jephthah was a Man of valor. In verse 1, this is what we read. In Judges 11, verse 1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. And he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. So what we learn of him, the first revelation we have concerning Jephthah is that he is a mighty man of valor. Strong words used for him. This is his character. This is the description about him. A mighty man of valor. A mighty man. That phrase means that Jephthah was marked by great bravery. He was a brave man. He was a mighty man. He was a strong man. And that word valor again emphasizes that. A mighty man of valor. And that word valor means strength. It has to do with ability and efficiency. So it identifies Jephthah as a very courageous man, a very powerful man. He was a kind of man who did what needed to be done in every situation that he faced in life. He was the kind of man who would refuse to back down. He was a mighty man of valor. He was the kind of man that you would want to have him in your battles. He would be a kind of man that you would want to have as a leader, but they did not want him to begin with. They did not see the strength of this man until they needed him. Isn't that a picture of the Savior? There's a time in our lives we never thought anything of him. But then when the Lord opened our hearts, we came to see we need this mighty man of valor to save us from our sins, to rescue us. That's what we need to see every day of our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that we need. He is the mighty man of valor. He was a strong, able, efficient. But something else is that we see this man, even though he's a mighty man of valor, his life is full of challenges. It's not a perfect life. It's a difficult life. Look at it again. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Think about that. So the next truth we learn about this man is that fact that he was the son of an harlot. His father's name was Gilead. Evidently, Gilead was a man who frequented prostitutes. And one of those prostitutes became pregnant and bore him a son named Jephthah. What a shame. What a disgrace. He had a father who was a sinful man. And so this was a major strike against Jephthah as it marked him as an illegitimate son of Gilead. Imagine that. Think about it. Here is a mighty man of valor. And yet he has these, as we would say, skeletons in his closet. Things that have brought about a shadow on his life. Everything in his life. Don't we have things in our lives that cast a shadow on our lives? Jephthah had marks in the plus column, as it were. And then he has marks in his minus column. He had areas in his life that were extraordinary, while other areas were problematic at best. We're all in the same kind of situation. There are things in our lives we wouldn't want others really to know. It's not something we would share. It's not something that Jephthah would share. But it was something that had marked his life. Most of us do not want to share these things, the problematic issues of our lives. Most of us, we don't trumpet our abilities. Yet we go to great length to conceal our problems. And this just reminds us that we are human. Don't think because someone is sitting here, they look that all things are going well for them. We could say, here is someone, a mighty man of valor. You could put some other things, labels on a person. This man seems to be doing well. But we don't know what the background is. We don't know what the hurts are. We don't know what the problems are. And so this is a reminder for us. We are at best less than perfect. We at best need the Lord every day. We need God's grace. There is sufficient grace for each day. No matter how far up in terms of your spiritual progress you have made, we still are sinners in need of God's grace. We'll still need desperately the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We can never say, I don't need the Lord. We can never say, I can do without the Lord. No, we need the Savior. Without Him, we can do nothing. We need this mighty man of valor, our Savior in our lives. But then something else we learn. Yes, he had this mark on his life. He was the son of a harlot. He was an illegitimate son. But also we find conflict. In verse 2, we read this, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. So Jephthah's father also had children with his wife. These were legitimate sons, legitimate children, lawful ones. But when these grew up, when they reached the level of maturity, they all turned on Jephthah and forced him out of the family. Forced him out of the family home. You can't have the inheritance. You can't be part of our family. We don't want you in our lives. Apparently, their father was dead. There is no mention of Gilead. And so they say these things. They refuse to share their inheritance with Jephthah. Oh, we don't want this man marring our family line. We don't want him amongst us. And also, if we get rid of him, we can have his money as well. We can have his share of inheritance too. So with Jephthah out of the way, they thought they could prosper. And also, something else you would think of. Maybe you have family members like that. If they come, it tenses you. It causes difficulty in the family gatherings. Some of us have people like that. Maybe you are like that. You yourself, when you go into your family gatherings, people really don't want you around. Jephthah, you see, his presence in the family was a constant reminder of their father's infidelity. Here was a man who most likely was very much hated all his life by his family, by his brothers. Yet he is called the mighty man of valor. Maybe they even hated him for that, for being strong. Maybe they hated him for being so able. He was known for his strength. And maybe they resented that. Maybe he was someone that they could never be. Maybe that's another thing. He represented everything that they could not be. You see, friends, Jephthah paid a great price for the sin of his father. His father was a man who was living in sin, and he had a child out of wedlock. The child lived with this stigma of his father's sins his whole life. His life was scarred by the action of his father and his half-brothers. But friends, one thing is clear in Jephthah's life. With all of his failings, he did not stoop down to their level of evil and sin. That's something that we do not read him speaking against them or doing the things that his father did or his brothers did. And that's something for you to take home with you. Do not stoop down to the level of the people who might have mistreated you, or people who have affected you in your life, or certain things that have marked your life. You don't have to get to their level. You see, Jephthah broke the cycle of sin in his family and became a better man by God's grace. That's why it's the Lord who makes all the difference. It's the Lord who makes all the difference. And that is quite an important thing for you to remember. The things he said it in the presence of the Lord. He had the Lord on his mind. He had the Lord. Did those people that he spoke to knew that the Lord was there? It's not told us, but what we know, he knew. He said it in the presence of the Lord. He was a man who was walking with an eye upon the Lord. The Lord is here. I'm speaking these words in the presence of my God. You don't have to continue in the same way. You can break the chain by God's grace. You can look to the Savior. You can be different. That's one thing, an encouragement that we get from this passage. And a great challenge for us. Sometimes we can blame our past. Sometimes we say, this is my upbringing, this is my culture, this is what I was brought up in. It doesn't have to be like that. With God, with the Lord. We need him then. Jephthah could have continued on in the same way. This shows clearly God's grace, God's mercy. If the Lord did not show him mercy, what makes the difference between Jephthah and his brothers? What makes the difference between Jephthah and his father? God's grace. To remember that. In Exodus 34 and verse 7, it says, keeping that the Lord does keep mercy, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. But that does not mean that God will punish you for what your parents did. People misuse such passages at times. It doesn't mean that your parents, your upbringing does have to bear fruit in your life. Yes, it does often bear fruit in our lives. Children often develop attitudes that are similar to their parents. They behave oftentimes like their parents. They develop ways of living that are like their parents. They have prejudices, likes and dislikes that were built into them by their parents. If your child is a stubborn child, ask yourself, am I stubborn? Ask yourself that. We can't see that oftentimes, but we see the mirror in our children. You say, well, no, I'm not like that. I'm not stubborn. I'm not fussy. The fact is that a lot of what we do is generational. We may not like it, but we carry the influence of our family with us all the days we live. If you have been, your tongue is negative, it's always critical, it's always the cup is half empty, don't be surprised if your children will carry that on, that kind of attitude. Looking at everything with a critical eye. If it's sunny, you complain. If it's raining, you complain. If it's cloudy, you complain. Whatever happens, we complain. Or in your workplace, individuals, relationships. Think about these things. But someone has to break this chain. Someone has to break the cycle. Jephthah, that is one thing we learn. The other children did not. But he was different. What made him the difference? The scripture speaks about what does make the difference? Is it because he learned more, he studied more? It's the grace of God. That's all we can say. We don't read that his brothers spoke in the presence of the Lord, but he spoke in the presence of God. Wherever you are, you can do things, you can speak things in the presence of God. Are you walking with God? That's something that affected me as I was reading this passage and thinking through this passage. I thought, this is something I did not see before. And this is what the Lord does in his people. He chooses us by his electing love, and then he begins this work in us to perfect that which concerns us. In Ephesians 1 and verse 4, we read this, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before him in love. In his presence in love. And that word is constant. Constantly in his presence. Before him. Then we read too in Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that ye may grow up in him, in all things which is the head, even Christ. Does this speak to you? Remember too that others have suffered rejection by their families. The scriptures are full of it. People of God rejected by their families. Godly people rejected. David experienced it. When Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons as king of Israel, they didn't even think enough of David to call him to appear before the prophet. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest of examples. This is what he experienced. The Son of God experienced this. So don't be surprised. His half-brothers mocked his claims to be the Messiah. They doubted his identity, and none of them believed on him until after his death and resurrection. At one point, even all his own family and friends thought that he was out of his mind. They said of him, it's recorded in Mark 3 and verse 21, that he's beside himself. He's lost his mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's what the Savior experienced, and that's what Jephthah experienced. Our earthly family might turn against us. But are you converted? If you're saved, you're a member of a new family. Your heavenly Father will never turn you away. Your true brothers and sisters, with all of your failings and with all of their failings, still are to love one another. We are still to forgive one another. We are still to stand by each other. That's the true nature of our new family. Can we say, I'm so glad to be part of God's family? Let me say one more thing about Jephthah and this rejection of him from these verses. And that's about his companions. When Jephthah left his family home, when he was rejected, he went to a place called Tob. We read in verse 3, then Jephthah fled from his brethren. You see, he had to flee. He had to run away. And then it says, and dwelt in the land of Tob. So he actually had to leave and then to live somewhere else. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Tob was a place located east of the Jordan River in the country of Syria. We are told that vain men gathered themselves to Jephthah. That phrase, vain men, it refers to those who are unemployed. It's of those who are bankrupt. It's those people who are empty. These were idle men looking for something to fill their time. We don't know exactly why they flocked to Jephthah. Maybe it was because of his rejection, because they knew this was a man who was a castaway. Here is a man who others have rejected him. Society has rejected him. Look at him. He is the son of a harlot. But maybe it is that in some ways, here was a man they could relate to. Here was a man that they saw in him. He could be our leader. He could, maybe he gave them hope. Maybe that was the case. And actually, God used them as well. Maybe they saw in him someone who could help them find a purpose in life. Have you thought of that? Why did they go to see him? But whatever the reason for coming to Jephthah, it says that the scripture says that they went out with him. They were united to him. He became a leader for them, for this band of misfits and this band of outcasts. It's speculated that they acted like David and his men, how they did during the time that they were running away from King Saul. David also had men around him who did not fit into the society of their day. So here is a mob. This is a group of people. They did not fit in to their time, and yet they were a great force in the hand of God. They did great things. They had a leader, had given them hope, had encouraged them, had mentored them, had nourished them, had cheered them on to do good things. Before, they were vain men. That was their mark. They had not anything in their life that would encourage anyone. They might have been seen as people who have ruined themselves. But God used them too. In what way do you have influence on other people? Do people come to you? Do they take encouragement from you? You see, Jephthah didn't go after them. They went after Jephthah. He was a leader of men. So what do we learn? Just a couple of things to add to the other points I hope you have taken to heart. One thing is this, that Jephthah took, by God's grace, God had transformed him, changed him, and what he did in his life, he did not get discouraged, but he took the negatives and turned it into a positive. He could have taken that rejection by his brothers as an indication of that his life was over and that he could never do anything for the Lord. Instead, he rose above the challenges of his life and made something. God helped him. The Lord helped him. The Lord was with him. Don't you see that in the lives of Joseph and others too? The Lord was with them. They were living in God's presence. How much we need that. This world is against God's people. If you want discouragement, just spend a minute thinking about what you have experienced today. The weaknesses, the sins, the others. All sorts of things you can find discouragements. This is a sinful world. It is against God. In its nature, it's against God. People around us, unless they're converted, they're totally depraved. They're zombies, dead people walking. But if you believe in divine sovereignty, you know that even the worst of circumstances are part of God's plan to deal with us, to work in us, bring about the best and good things. All things working together for good. That's what he does. And what does he do then? He orders our steps. It says that the steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Actually, he says, Lord, it's not that the way is delightful, but he delights in his way. Because God is there. He knows his ways are ordered. Is every step. It says the steps of a good man in Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, is saying God is sovereign. What you've experienced today, you say, God, this was my one step closer to home. And I give thee all the glory. Whether you see it or not, whether you believe it or not, all the days of your life have been structured by an almighty and all-wise God to make you into a person that will be more like Christ. Another lesson is this. In his sovereignty, God uses the unusable. That's what he does. Again and again, in the lives of the judges, this is what we see. This shows again his sovereignty. In the eyes of the world, what can a Christian, a weak Christian, do? And yet, Christians with this message of salvation, they have transformed nations, continents, by God's grace. They have become vessels of honor, the scripture says. Vessels of honor. Another thing to think about is about our companions. People like Jephthah came to Jephthah. The principle is this. People tend to gravitate towards those who reflect what is in their own hearts. Look at the people you talk to. They're often people just like you. We usually seek out others who are just like us. Look at people who you spend your time with. They reveal the sort of a person you are. If someone is discontented, they will gravitate towards those others who are discontented. If someone is given over to various specific sins, they will gravitate towards others who do the same thing. Think about seeking to follow, seeking to be with people who are seeking to follow the Lord. That's what the Christian ought to do. This is one of the reasons why we come together, to worship God together at a midweek meeting. Because we want to be with the Lord's people. We want to pray to the Lord together. We have the same things in common. Oh, our lives may be very different. Your likings may be different. But spiritually, we are one. But remember to final lesson. Rejection is hurtful, but it is beneficial. God has often used rejection to bless God's people. God uses animosity, God uses attacks, God uses persecution to build up his own people and build up our character, refine your life. And so the prophet says, kiss the rod. Kiss the chastening rod of God. Give thanks to God in your great difficulties. Remember, the Lord is at hand. The Lord has ordered your steps. Well, here is Jephthah. All sorts of things have happened in his life. All sorts of negativity. And yet, somewhere down the line, God had done something that had derailed him from the life of his family. is called grace. That's what he does. It's the brand that is plucked out from the burning. That's what Jephthah. Yes, we can point to his faults. We can see it. It's written down. But let us not forget God's sovereign grace in this man's life and his eye in the presence of God. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord. May we also say, these things that I say, these things that I do in my life, they are uttered, done, heard in the presence of God. Amen.